The Toddcast Podcast. Follow on Instagram and Twitter at Toddcast Podcast.
Hello?
Mike Peters.
Todd.
Hey, dude. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you for taking some time out of your vacation here to do the Toddcast Podcast in Vancouver, Canada.
Right on. No worries.
We can't wait for the Cancer Bat Show coming in Vancouver at the Rickshaw Theater September 20th.
Yes, I can't wait to be back.
Dude, man, I saw you guys, it was probably maybe 10 years ago, something like that, you'd played the Media Club.
Yeah.
And was a fan for life after that show. Holy crap. So, dude, we're all excited for your band to be back in Vancouver. For this chat, I kind of want to go back to the beginning, though. I want to go back before you were playing in any bands. And what was the music like in the Peters house as a kid growing up? Like, which bands are your parents playing and exposing you to?
Well, I come from, like, kind of religious household. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of, like, you know, 70s Christian folk music.
70s
but then my dad had
Christian folk. Like, okay.
I feel like that was like my dad likes like now he likes like a lot of like Jimmy Buffett and reggae and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like he was into like kind of, you know, yeah, that's what he was listening to, and then he had me, and then he, you know, didn't really listen to all that much new music once he started having kids, I feel like, was his thing. But he did have, he had a Doors Greatest Hits tape.
Okay.
And a CCR Greatest Hits record and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Right.
And those those are the three records I really remember listening to, especially like once I started like kind of getting into music, you know?
Right.
Those are the three records that I remember, like, wanting to put on.
And I wonder how much, like, with the music, of course, the Cancer Bats is very, you know, it's aggressive. It's hard rock. It's metal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I wonder how much of that plays into you getting into that genre of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, I think, like, I got into that a little bit, like, later. But I think, like, you know, the Doors and CCR, like, they were rocking bands, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Those records are
sure.
So it's just like, yeah, that's what I like connected with. And then, you know, when I have a cousin who's 2 years older than me, and he started getting into like, you know, punk and stuff like that through skateboarding. So I was just like hot on his heels skateboarding with him,
right,
and stuff like that. And
okay,
then it was like we were listening to punk, and then, you know, yeah.
And
just all snowballed from there.
And which were the first bands to kind of grab you, like, in that genre?
Well, I remember, like, Green Day Dookie was big for me.
Yeah, huge. Big record. Huge.
Yeah. And it came out, like, right when I think I was in grade 7 when I got it. You know, grade 6.
Wheelhouse.
Maybe, so,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then, I don't know, Propagandhi. My cousin had Propagandhi's How to Clean Everything. And Dr. Dre, The Chronic, I guess?
Okay, yeah.
and nice, then he brought, yeah, he brought those two, like, he got them, I don't know if he got them for, like, a Christmas present or something. I just remember being at my grandma's house with him, and we, like, my grandma lives 3 hours west of Winnipeg, so we would go there and spend, and we had our bedroom, and we would, like, listen to tapes in there.
Right.
You know, and so we were, like, I remember listening to that, just, like, having my mind blown.
Both records.
And then totally. But I, you know, I eventually just connected, I think, with Propagandhi big
more,
time. And then,
yeah. And what was your first concert that you attended?
I went to this, like, in terms of like punk and that kind of genre, I went to this, it's still around actually. It's called The Edge. It's a big skate park in Winnipeg.
Okay.
It's like a huge indoor skate park run by like, Youth for Christ, this Christian organization.
Okay.
And, so they brought in this band called The Blamed, which was like Christian hardcore band.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, that was my world. I grew up in going to church.
Sure.
So we listened to a lot of that kind of MXPX and all these like Christian punk bands because, my parents approved. Right. and so it was the span 6 feet under.
Under
6 feet. I think it was 6 feet deep, actually. I think 6 feet under is Chris Barnes from originally from Cannibal Corpse's death metal band. It was the Christian version, whichever one it was,
right.
And the Blamed, and it was crazy. I remember, we stood in line. It was January in Winnipeg, you know, line. Yeah, freezing our asses off, and then, and went to the show at like 13 years old and just like
13.
Was in the pit the whole time.
Wow.
And then I remember my dad coming to get me and my buddy, and he came and like tapped me while I was moshing. Like, come on, we got to go. Get to school night.
That's awesome. And yeah. And how much further down the line then are you in bands? Like how old were you when you started playing, you know, music?
I started playing drums when I was 11, okay. I guess 11 years old. Okay. Yeah. So, and I always like, We grew up going to a lot of like these Christian like concerts with my parents. My parents really liked going to them, and like
that's cool.
We had friends that would go.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go see bands almost like at least once a month on a Saturday night. If not more. But it was like it was like a praise and worship thing with like just local musicians.
But still,
yeah, it was still, and that's like what got me interested in playing
sure.
music.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then. Bad gummy drumming, and I actually took drums from the guy who played in a band.
Oh, cool.
I took lessons from him, yeah. and then I just wanted to start band. So I got my drum kit when I was 12, and I think about 4 days after I got my drum set, like the first Saturday after I got it, I had like five friends in it. Start a band.
Yes, of course. You know? And yeah. How old were you when you started Cancer Bats?
I joined Cancer Bats when I was 23,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I played in a band called 3 or 4. It was like it's Andrew from Comeback Kid.
Okay.
Was in it, and Jeremy from Comeback Kid was in it later on. But Andrew and I started in that band when we were like 16.
Oh, so wow.
and that band toured, like we're doing a tour with Comeback Kid in November, and it'll be like 20 years of me and Andrew touring together.
That's awesome!
Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
And do you think does it get any easier making albums over the year? I mean, over the years, there's a cohesiveness to the new record, the Spark That Moves. I mean, it's solid, dude.
Thank you. Yeah, I think you just, I mean, you learn, every time you go into the studio, you learn something new. And, you know, you take that with you and you apply it, you know, you get to spend 2-3 years touring the record and see how it does, and you kind of learn what was good about it and what was bad about it, you know. And I always find, you know, like we're going into the, I think with the Spark That Moves, especially like when I had moved back to Winnipeg. I grew up in Winnipeg and I lived in Toronto for 10 years, and I moved back to Winnipeg right after we finished making Searching for Zero.
Right.
So I toured living in Winnipeg, and then when we started getting ready to write the record, it changed the way we wrote, and I think it was just it gave us a lot more space from each other and a lot more time to sort of think about things on our own, maybe, instead of just being like, we always did things where we were just like in a room together writing, you know. And instead this time I was like jamming in my basement, but then like listening to demos while I, and I had a son at the same time, basically.
Right.
So I was also like trying to get a kid to sleep while I was like,
right.
Or like going for like long walks, pushing a stroller, while I listened to demos. And Jay or Scott would just send over guitar riffs, you know, and then I'd go and listen to them, and I'd walk for an hour just listening to these songs and these ideas,
right.
And then eventually get to my drums.
What an awesome way to do it, too, especially when you're not used to it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of like a breath of fresh air, I think, for the band, you know, like a real, so.
Right. That's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
I would love to get outside of music and, of course, what you're known for. What are you binging right now? What are you binge watching?
Binge watching? Well, we've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, good show.
it's hilarious.
Oh, man, it's so good. Yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, we've been kind of on, I mean, we're just like Netflix and Crave. Actually, I've been watching the show Crashing, which is an HBO show.
Okay.
It's an HBO show. It's kind of funny, actually. Andrew from Quebec had actually told me to watch it because it's got this element of... It's about comics, and it's about this comedian trying to make it in New York. And but he's like a Christian guy, and he goes back to... He gets out of it, and then he goes back to being a Christian. Goes back to doing Christian clubs just to make money, and Andrew's like laughing because we started out being in a Christian hardcore band. So, yeah, so we were laughing about our...
Yeah. Did you get sucked into the whole Raptors fever that was going around the country?
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, I don't have cable, and I have a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old kid.
Right.
So it's like trying to go to a bar and watch a game is like next to impossible. It's
like not happening.
Yeah.
No, I'm the same. I've got a 9 and a 6.5. So I'm...
Oh, okay. I'm
in the same boat, but just a few years ahead of you. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite sport to watch, and how about to play?
I grew up always playing baseball and basketball.
Right.
Those are my two sports. And then, I was always better in baseball, I think.
Yeah. That was my best sport too.
Oh yeah. 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 And then I kind of got into punk and skateboarding. And so I didn't even finish out high school playing sports really. So,
right.
But, I never played a lot of hockey because I grew really fast. I'm a pretty big dude, and
funny sort of.
So my parents were like, "We can't afford to keep you in equipment."
Totally right.
Yeah,
dude. It's
so once I stopped being able to get hand-me-downs from my cousin and stuff, then that was the end of my hockey career.
Your sporting career wrapped up right there. Huh?
Yeah, but I was like, you can play sports like baseball and basketball. It only requires shoes and
different size shorts, and you're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's your favorite superhero and your favorite superhero movie?
I don't know. I guess I always liked Batman. Yeah. He's kind of a dark weirdo.
The best thing about Batman is that you look at it and go, like, he's just a dude. He's a dude that works out, that knows mixed martial arts, and... You know, is a good detective, and you could actually legitimately be, there could be a Batman. There can't be a Superman. There can't be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and like science has just helped him, you know?
Right, exactly.
And he's got unlimited resources or whatever, and so he's got science on his side.
Being the billionaire that he is, it doesn't matter. I mean, he can make whatever he wants. Yeah,
exactly.
And which superpower would you want to have?
Well, I think flying would be cool.
Yeah. Right, like bullet fast, though, like boom, see you poison the next show, right?
Yeah. Get home, sleep at home at night.
Totally, every night, nice.
Yeah.
Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
100%.
Yeah. Like, how couldn't they, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all the old, like the Aztec, you know, with all the weird. I love watching Ancient Aliens and those kind of shows.
Totally. Yeah. Same.
All those, the writing on the wall is there, you know? It's just, I don't know. I feel like it's either aliens or it's, you know, our civilization or whatever that came from Earth that finally figured out time travel and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh,
and came back.
Time travel. That
right?
is a great wormhole.
Yeah. Like, I think, it's like, what's, like, you know, think about all the technological advances we've made, like in 50 years or in 100 years, that could be possible. And then they just go back.
Totally.
You know, and we're already living on Mars or wherever. So we're the alien, you know?
Like, we're talking Star Trek shit now.
Yeah. I'm in.
I totally agree. Like, I think that there's going to be a time where they'll be able to, like, fold the space-time continuum and jump across the galaxy. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of the Motley Crue movie? Did you see it?
I did watch it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of fun.
It was exactly.
Like, did you listen to much of their music as a kid?
Not a lot. Yeah. Not really. Yeah. And I kind of I'm not really that into it. Even me, you know, like I listen, like you hear the songs on the radio, but sure. I've never bought a record or anything.
Right. I mean, it's just
like it was a bit.
It's nostalgia.
Yeah.
And it's very glorifying.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was fun in city, but I've never been a big. Like we've played some festivals and stuff where they did. Like early on, and I didn't even go watch them play.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah. What are your thoughts on legalized marijuana?
I think it's good. I don't think it's good. Like, you know, I don't think there's that many more people smoking it now.
No, dude, no.
You know, maybe they're just smoking it more publicly, or, you know, my neighbor's growing some plants, which is great.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hopefully not like, you know, if they were like, suddenly, hey, cocaine is legal. It's not like you'd be like, all right, I'm a cokehead now. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's because it's legal. Yeah. It doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and why not just make it so that you can go down to the store? I had, when it got legalized in, because I don't really smoke all that much.
Right.
And, but when it got legalized in Washington State,
yeah, which they've said there's like $600 million in a surplus that they've made in the last 5 or 6 years. Like, it's insane the amount of money that is going to be made from cannabis.
Exactly, it's amazing. I mean, they're doing it with alcohol. Why not do it with cannabis?
Exactly. Like, dude, if I can go in my basement and you brew wine or beer to literally to whatever extent I want.
Yeah.
Why can't I grow a couple, 2, 3, 4 plants? Like, the diff? What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing I liked about it was that, you know, a friend of mine brought some cookies for us.
Okay.
And they were like labeled, like what they would do to you.
Okay.
You know, the effects, like, oh, this one will put you to sleep. This one will be, you know, you'll laugh a lot and whatever.
Right. Creative energies or whatever it is.
Yeah. And it, I mean, maybe it was just like a placebo effect or whatever. Like, it was just
a regular cookie.
It was a regular cookie. I don't know. It felt like it did exactly what it said it was going to do.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and it was enjoyable every time.
Dude, like, eating it is a different world. If you're just a regular smoker and you've never eaten anything, you need to eat something.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Right. Mike, thank you for doing this again. Two more questions.
I'll
let you go here. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in Figure Four with Andrew and Jeremy from Conkin, we went down to California to play a festival, and we were coming home. We didn't have any equipment in the van, but there was about like 7 people or 8 people in the van, and I was driving. And it was about 2 a.m, like just outside of Fargo. Fargo. So we were about 4 hours from Winnipeg, and I rolled the van.
What?
And I hit black ice.
Wow.
Spun out, and like I remember we were listening to Bad Brains.
Okay.
and it was like the van, like we spun backwards and then flipped on our top, and we were just sliding. Sliding on the roof in the ditch, and it was like just like I love a job. Like, like, this is crazy. The window, the front windshield smashed out.
Yeah, it is. Like in those moments, isn't it weird, Mike? That like time slows.
Oh, totally.
To a crawl. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So and luckily, like, I was the one who got the most hurt. And I got, it was just like a cut from, I was the only one wearing a seatbelt, and it was just a cut from my seatbelt.
That's it?
And then, that was it. Everybody else was okay. Everybody was sleeping in the van.
Yeah, don't they say that? Like, if people are sleeping or they're just not aware of something, like if there's an accident going to happen and that you don't realize it, something about your body being relaxed or whatever, and that's like the best case scenario is if you're sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Weird. So yeah, I mean, that's where it worked out, and like, and it worked out. You know, the van was like this really old van that we bought for $1,200, and I think they gave us like $3,500.
So it worked out even
in insurance money.
For the best.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, Mike. The toughest I'll ask you today is maybe you got a good one. a career highlight? Can you name one, or is that impossible?
Well, honestly, I can't. It's tough to name one, but off the top of my head, like, we just played Hellfest in France.
Yeah.
And it was the second time we played Hellfest. And we were playing up against, like, Testament was playing on the main stage, you know, and it was, like, it blew my mind by, like, tenfold. Like, how many people were watching us.
No shit.
And how crazy the show was.
How many people do you think were watching?
I'm going to say, like, between 15 and 20,000 people.
Wow. Wow.
And just, like, it was the whole area. Like, and it's, like, I don't know if you've seen many pictures from Hellfest.
Yeah, dude. I watched a lot of their streaming it online.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the whole area is so cool. It's unbelievable. We played this stage called the War Zone.
That's the one in France, like, right? Because there's multiple Hellfests. Is there not? I think
it originally started in Syracuse, and then I think the one in France bought the name or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And just took it from being it's unbelievable. Like, it is. If I would suggest, if anyone can go to a festival,
really
go to Hellfest.
Wow,
it's like heavy metal Disneyland. Like, it's crazy,
insane.
Because what I've heard about the festival is that they actually own the land that they it on.
Right.
So the fencing, like, around the festival area is, like, bombed out looking steel fences with, like, the Hellfest logo stamped through it, and, like, and it shoots pyro at night. It gets dark, and then the fence around the festival shoots fire.
Wow.
And then like, all the bars that they have on the ground, like, once it got dark, they started shooting pyro at the top of them. This is nuts. It feels like you're going into, like, the Dusk from Dawn bar where there's all the fire coming up along the sides.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And then, like it's just, everything's cool. Like,
that's crazy. Huge,
like, there's, like, a 30-foot Lemmy statue. And, like, you know, there's just, like, all this stuff. And then, like, our whole area is, like, the war zone. It's got all these cool, like, it was so cool. And you're looking out at this huge, you're doing the setup, and there's no one there. And then 5 minutes before you come on, you look out, and there's 10,000 or more people. And you're just like, what? And,
you know, just have it.
And, like, Clutch is playing on one stage. You can hear them.
Fucking love Clutch, dude. Wow.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Clutch,
so it's
is
like,
such a
I'm getting ready to go, and Clutch is doing, you can hear them from the other stage. And so, you know, like, everybody's watching Clutch, and then they run over and watch us. Like, it was crazy.
Wow. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I saw Clutch, what was it? Clutch, Mastodon.
And, oh, yeah.
I can't remember. And dude, at the Commodore Ballroom here in Vancouver.
I mean, really? Wow.
It was insane. Maybe about 5 years back. And
I came to Winnipeg, but I was gone.
Okay, yeah, and I wasn't really sure, because, I mean, I've seen Mastodon, and they've fucking destroyed, man. Like, they were with Alice in Chains and Deftones one tour.
Wicked.
You know, and I've seen Mastodon, like, just absolutely kill. But Clutch was way better that night, dude. Like, it wasn't even, you know, it was like, okay, Clutch plays all the time. Mastodon is very loose, felt very loose in comparison. Yeah, man, Clutch is a dangerous band, man. Holy crap.
I know, It was our first night out after having our second baby was going to see Clutch in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Of course. Right on, Mike. Well, thank you again for taking the time for us here today in Vancouver.
No problem. Thanks for doing it.
Your band is at Cancer Bats on social media. Of course, Cancer Bats in Vancouver to play September 20th at the Rickshaw Theater, one of the best venues in the city. I guess it's going to be awesome, man. We'll see you then, and I guess we'll see you online before that.
For sure. Awesome.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.